Standby.
Standby one.
Let's go.
You're about to experience the evolution of action motorsports coverage. The motorsports you care about. Cutting edge, high impact, no filler. This is the Down and Dirty Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink. And here is the man bringing it all to you, Jimmy Beaver.
Good morning and welcome to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink. I'm your host, Jim Beaver, and today this is our last live show of 2013. Man, it's been a heck of a year here at the Down and Dirty Radio Show, and I got to thank each and every one of you that tunes in and week out, that helps us rolling. We've gone past 100 episodes now and heading into the Christmas break. I got to tell you, we've got probably one of the biggest off-road guests of the year on air today. None other than Mr. Carl Rennesetter. Hit 100 wins last year in short course. That's not even talking desert racing. Everybody seems to forget that Carl is such an accomplished desert racer. So we're going to get into that and talk with him. And I know he's got a trophy truck sitting there in the garage. We're going to see when he's going to drag that thing out and take her for a spin on those General Tire grabbers. And, yeah, it should be a great interview. Later on in the show, we're going to get into the top storylines that define 2013. We're going to have Matt Martelli calling in from Mad Media. We're going to have Courtney McCray from Poison Spider calling in. We may have a few boys from RaceDesert.com calling in, going to chime in. We're going to go all, you know, we're going to talk all about the storylines in 2013 that pretty much define this year. You know, off-road and rally, we're going to have a little bit of global rallycross, some short course, some desert racing, maybe some WRC, some motorcycles. You know, any story that really hit, I don't want to say hit the mainstream, but, you know, really got everybody talking this year. And trust me, man, this year in off-road and action motorsports, just the leaps and bounds we made this year, I hate using that word mainstream, but mainstream publicity, man, it's what everybody's talking about this year, especially with these big announcements just coming out. I mean, you know, you've got Stadium Super Trucks heading to X Games, Torque going to Sturgis, you know, Lucas Oil announcing their schedule, Score, they're gonna have Score on ESPN here in just a short week or two. I mean, these are huge for off-road desert racing. Then you've got Best in the Desert still got that solid schedule. The Mint 400 bigger and better than ever. It's been wild. It has absolutely been wild. I'm looking forward to getting into that. We're going to have the Score Awards. We're going to update on that. And we're going to have the top 10 Christmas presents for the off-road and action motorsports fan in your life. We're going to have that later on in the show as well. It's going to be a slam-packed show for this final live episode of 2013. Should be a great show, especially with Carl Rennesetter calling in. Definitely looking forward to that. I just look back at this year and the things that we've done on air, the guests we've had. I mean, you know, obviously Ken Block, Vaughn Gittin, Travis Pastrana. We've had Bryce Menzies right after the Mint 400, BJ Baldwin right after, you know, his Baja 1000 win. Rob McCachran, we're talking, you know, legends here. And let's not forget Sal Fish. I mean, that was just amazing. But it looks like we've got Carl calling in. Let's see if we can pick him up. How's everything going, Carl?
Good. How you doing?
Pretty good, man. I gotta tell you, you've had one heck of a 2013.
Yeah, that's to say the least. We've had some really good successes this year. I'm pretty stoked.
Yeah, I guess let's flash back. I mean, let's go back to the 100 wins. Let's talk a little bit about that because, you know, to me, it doesn't really say the whole story because, you know, that's 100 short course wins. I mean, you know, us that have known you for a while or known of you, I mean, you know, how many, you know, total wins, where are you at in your career counting desert racing and everything else?
Actually, I'm not really sure. Depends what you categorize, but. Like you said, the 100 wins were Pro 2, Pro 4, you know, same truck. So, you know, as far as desert races go, you know, I've only won a few. I've won the Baja 1000 twice, once solo in 94 in a Class 1 buggy, and then in I believe it was 2007 with Rob McCachran and Mark Post, the 40th anniversary, the one that went all the way down, we won that one together. So those were cool. I think I've got another Baja 500 in there, and I don't know. I'd have to look, to be honest with you.
Well, you know, going into this year, you know, I know last year you had some ups and downs, and, you know, and then coming into this year right out of the box, I mean, you know, obviously seven straight wins. I mean, that's just amazing. You know, in the off season, what, obviously you guys run an elite level program. It just seems like, you know, 2012, it wasn't quite your year. And then heading into 2013, I mean, it was guns a-blazing for you guys.
Well, you know, we finished 2012 really strong. I think the third race from the end of the season, we had a pretty good streak going, both in Pro 4 and Pro 2. So we carried that momentum in the off season. We kind of found our sweet spot, and we just focused on that. You know, we focused on the details, and the guys in the shop really, took care of the trucks and got our maintenance program together and basically just dotted our I's and crossed our T's. So, you know, we came out into 2013, you know, with some momentum and carried it throughout the season. So it was a great year for us.
And how is it, I've talked with, you know, Rob when we had him on air in the past and stuff. How is it with you changing up between the Pro 2 and Pro 4? I mean, adjusting your driving style. I mean, is it easy? Is it difficult? Or have you done it so many times now that it's just second nature?
Well, you know, I mean, it depends. You know, it's kind of like a golf swing. You know, you could be a professional golfer and one day just all of a sudden, you know, your swing's off a little bit. So you got to go back, you know, back to your basics, and you have to think about what you're doing. But as far as the transition between the Pro 2 and Pro 4, you know, if I race the Pro 4 first, it's more difficult to jump in the Pro 2 as opposed to the other way around. So towards the second half of the season, they started switching the Pro 2 and Pro 4 because we've always started in the Pro 4 first. But because of the track maintenance situation, they figured out, I guess, that it's better to have the Pro 2s run first because the track's better at the beginning of the day, and it gradually deteriorates. Even if they, do all the maintenance they do, it still deteriorates by the last race of the day. So Pro 4s, it's easier for them to adapt to, you know, difficult track conditions. Pro 2s are not as easy. So that kind of worked out pretty well for that transition. But either way, you know, you got to be on your game. You got to think about what you're doing when you're out there.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, talking about, you know, short course in general, obviously, you know, you've been concentrating on the Lucas Oil Series. You know, what do you, you know, obviously you've run Crandon, Bark River in the past. You know, now we've got Elsinore and we've got Reno, these new tracks that Lucas has built. I mean, what do you think of these new breed of tracks? I mean, to me, they're just, you know, the jumps and everything else, just absolutely, you know, insane, some of the stuff that Lucas is coming up with now.
Yeah, you know, every track's got a little different deal, you know, kind of like their signature deal. You know, at Elsinore, they've got that huge tabletop. You know, I still have a picture of my truck about 25 feet in the air. I don't know of another jump where our trucks get that high. You know, Reno's got the great elevation changes. You know, Crandon's got, you know, just the history of you know, all the racing they've done back there, the high speed. So every track's got their special little deal, you know. It's kind of, they're all neat in their own way.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, talking about off season, you know, this year your off season is cut a little bit short. Let's talk about Frozen Rush. I know they just announced a driver list for that, and you're on it. How did that come about? And is it something you're looking forward to?
Absolutely. You know, I mean, it's something that that I was invited to go to from the Red Bull folks. And, you know, it's a new thing that they're doing. Racing in the snow is going to be interesting. You know, we're putting half-inch steel studded tires, or steel studs in our tires, so that we can get some traction. You know, I think Ricky Johnson's the only one that's ever really tried this. I think he did some testing last year. So we're all going in there kind of wondering what to expect, but you know, I've always done stuff in the snow throughout, you know, my whole life, you know, skiing and boarding and all that stuff. So why not racing? I mean, it could be a really interesting thing. We'll see.
Yeah, I think it's going to be exciting. I mean, how do you train for something like that? I mean, you know, I guess, you know, at this point, you really don't know what you're getting into until you get back there, huh?
Yeah, you know, we really don't know what to expect other than we know it's going to be very cold. So, you know, managing temperatures are probably the most critical thing that we can do at this point. The rest is going to be trial and error, really. So, you know, we need to make sure we keep our engine, you know, temperatures up and, you know, see what the shocks do in such cold temperatures. And, you know, we'll just kind of play it by ear. But, you know, everybody's in the same boat. So it should be fun. It should be a neat experience. I believe we're racing, you know, literally up a ski resort and down. It's going to be a different format, I guess, side by side, you know, two at a time. Process of elimination. So it's going to be a new format, a new deal. But, you know, Red Bull does some pretty interesting things, so I think it could be neat.
Yeah, I think it definitely, you know, and thinking about managing the temperatures and things like that, you know, here as off-road racers, we're always, you know, trying to keep our trucks cool. And, you know, and here you guys are facing total opposite, you know, there it's going to be trying to keep things hot.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, you know, the critical thing is when we start the trucks, you know, it's just going to be real interesting. We'll see for sure.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I gotta ask you, and you know, when everybody knew you were coming on the show, this was the first thing that popped up. Everybody wants to know what the status of the trophy truck in your shop is.
Oh, that poor old trophy truck is just sitting there waiting to be driven, really. I've got my pre-runner totally prepped, ready to go. The trophy truck, it is a bit of, you know, it's just kind of in the middle of a prep from, you know, the last time we drove it, which was 2008 in at Laughlin, actually, which was that was a pretty fun race. That's when it rained and Robbie Gordon was racing. But it's just kind of sitting there, and every once in a while I kind of wonder if I should dust that thing off and get out there. But, you know, with the short course, we're so busy, you know, developing, testing, and racing. Don't have a whole lot of time, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, it's one of those things, you know, I can totally feel you. You know, it's one of those things that you definitely have in the back of your mind, though, you know, at some point you're going to dust her off and bring her back out and bang doors with some of us.
No, there's no doubt. You know, it's just a matter of timing and, you know, the right opportunity. I know there's been a lot of changes out there with the desert racing, you know, as far as series and what's going on out there. So, you know, I don't know. It's interesting. Definitely interesting.
And this is actually a personal question on my front, and I don't know if you still have it. At one point, you guys had the old McPherson truck in-house, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you still have that? And did you ever get a chance to drive that truck?
You know, I when I first acquired that truck, it was right when I was finishing building my trophy truck and I was redoing my pre-runner. So I took it down to San Felipe, and that's the one and only time I actually ever drove it, and I pre-ran in it at the San Felipe 250. Gosh, that was a number of years ago. And then after that, I finished my pre-runner, so I never really used it again. But when Rick Houston passed away, I donated it to his family so they could raise money for Ricky's family and son. So I think they ended up selling it to somebody. I'm not sure.
Yeah, no, and I'm not sure
where it is today.
Yeah, neither do I. So let's jump back to short course real quick. I mean, obviously, you know, you've been involved, you know, with short course for quite some time. I mean, 100 wins, you know, it's just insane. You know, how have you seen the landscape and the competitiveness in short course change in, say, the past 5-10 years?
Did you say the competition?
Yeah, the competition and just the landscape. And, you know, how has the bar been raised the past 5 to 10 years?
Well, you know, the bar has been raised mostly through the television production and, you know, the amount of time we're on TV, because that's really what makes our sport grow, you know, is the television package and how many hours we're actually on TV and how many people really see what we do. So I think from that perspective, you know, we've grown tremendously. You know, now more than ever, I have people no idea about off-road racing and say, gosh, I just saw you on TV. I didn't know you did that, you know. So it's reaching a lot more households, which is huge for our sport, which allows, you know, more racers to, you know, go out and get sponsorship, because there's the value. There's so much more value there now than there was before. You know, and then also we see, you know, these classes that are developing drivers, you know, the trophy, starting with the trophy carts, and we're seeing some new young talent coming up, which is great to help feed our sport, you know. And, you know, the trucks are getting better and the technology is getting better. They're faster. You know, every year the bar keeps getting raised, and so everything keeps getting better.
You there?
Hello?
Yeah, I out for a second. So, yeah, it just seems it's definitely been, you know, the bar's been raised. I know when I got involved in off-road, there was no, you know, there was no path. And it seems like now with the trophy carts and then, you know, stepping stone to pro lights, it's like these kids have a path, you know. And I think we're seeing it, you know, at such a young age, 15, 16, some of these kids coming in and being competitive. I mean, it blows my mind, because at 16, there's no way I would have been that good.
Yeah, there's no doubt that these kids are getting developed at a young age, you know, for them to step into some pro lights, because, you know, now the pro lights are a lot more cost effective by the changes that they've made, and they have opportunities to be on TV and to attract sponsorship to get into the big trucks. So I think we're going to see a lot of that coming up over the next few years.
Yep. Absolutely. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to come on air today, Carl. Anybody you want to thank before we let you go?
Well, you know, I'd like to, of course, thank, you know, everybody that's involved, from my family who supports me, my team who, you know, puts the countless hours in working on the trucks to make them what they are, and the sponsors who help us, you know, do what we do, Lucas Oil, General Tire, Team Associated, King Shocks, Fortin Transmissions, you know, Optima Battery, everybody that, you know, is behind us, who helps make this happen for us. And thanks to the listeners and to the fans who follow this, you know, because without them, we wouldn't be able to do what we do.
Yep, absolutely. Well, good luck next year. Good luck at Frozen Rush, and have a great holidays.
Yeah, thank you very much. Merry Christmas to you, too.
All right. Thanks a lot, Carl.
Take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye. All right. That was off-road legend Carl Rennesetter, a Pro 4, Pro 2 racer in the Lucas Oil Series, runs a General Tire Lucas Oil short course truck, and talking about amazing year. He had 7 straight wins to start out the year in Pro 4. I mean, just absolute dominance. And, at that point, I don't want to say you can put it in cruise control for the rest of the year, but, just talk about a great year that he had. And Frozen Rush, we're going to talk about that here in just a little bit after the break, but Red Bull Frozen Rush on the East Coast, running some Pro 4 trucks at a ski resort this January. It's going to be off the hook, and we're going to talk about that here after the break, so stay tuned to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink.
I want a Ford Escape.
Hold the phone. Oh, boy. I can't seem to get anyone interested in dollies or superhero outfits. Nothing.
I want a Ford Super Duty.
Ah, one of the elves told me about the Ford Dream Big sales event going on at your local Ford dealer. So these children have visions of fuel-efficient vehicles with smart features dancing in their heads.
I'm thinking the Ford Fusion.
Wow, earning my milk and cookies this year.
During the Dream Big sales event at your Arizona Ford dealers, lease a Fusion for just $169 a month. Not all buyers will qualify for Ford Credit Red Carpet Lease. Payments may vary. Dealer determines price. Residency restrictions apply. Cash due at signing is after $750 customer cash and $1,000 conquest cash. Available to current lessees of non-Ford Motor Company vehicles with proof of ownership. Conquest and bonus cash require Ford credit financing. Take new retail delivery from dealer stock by January 2nd. See dealer for details.
Very few companies can call themselves an industry leader. Racetech Seats is one of the few. It doesn't matter if you race off-road, rally, touring cars, sprint cars, drag racing, or boats. Chances are, Racetech Seats have a seat that will keep you safe, secure, and comfortable, allowing you to concentrate on winning. Racetech Seats, meet and exceed the FIA crash test standard, are Hans compatible, flame resistant, and offer full containment, meaning you can race knowing you are protected by the best. More information can be found at www.racetech-usa.com. That's www.racetech-usa.com. Racetech Seats. Our passion is keeping you safe. There's only one.
Wynonna
Judd live at the Blue Water Amphitheater.
No one else.
Don't miss Wynonna and the Big Noise live Saturday, January 25th. Performing music from her solo career and hits from her days with the Judds. Tickets are $50 general admission or $75 for VIP. Gates open at 2. Show starts at 4 p.m. January 25th and only at Blue Water Resort and Casino in Parker, Arizona.
Are you ready for the revolution, the Ford revolution? Well, Parker Motor Company is bringing it to you. We're bringing you the 411-horsepower Ford Raptor, the new turbocharged 252-horsepower Ford Focus ST, and the twin-turbo 365-horsepower Ford Taurus Show. Now, that's not your grandma's Taurus. Join us at Parker Motor Company, where we like to talk cars, treat you right, and show you why we are a 9-time Ford President's Award winner. Parker Motor Company, your hometown Ford and Lincoln dealer. Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink. I'm your host, Jim Beaver, and just got off an interview with the legend Carl Rennesetter, Mr. 100 Wins himself. Interesting talking with him. It's been a while since he's done the desert racing thing, and obviously he's got Baja 1000 wins and Baja wins and a ton of desert racing wins, and he's lost track of how many wins he has. So go figure. It's one of those things. Everybody knows Rob Mack is Mr. 200, Carl is Mr. 100, but Carl, he's got the gap narrowed between him and Rob quite a bit, because there's a lot of wins there desert racing that are unaccounted for on Carl's side, whereas Rob, he's got all those documented in his 200 plus wins on his side. So just makes it interesting. I mean, both these guys just absolute legends, and Carl, great to have him on air. And man, from a personal standpoint, I can't wait for him to drag that trophy truck back out. And I think I raced Laughlin against him the last time he ran it there, and I got to tell you, he drives a trophy truck like he drives a Pro 4. There's no conservative about it. I mean, it's gas on, game on, and he brings it. And he brings that added level of intensity to a trophy truck race. And just a great guy, and great having him on air. And big thanks to Carl for calling in. So we've got all kinds of stuff before we get into our top storylines of Define 2013. We were going to do the top 10 gifts to give your off-road and action motorsports fan in your life last week. We had such a big show that it got pushed back to this week, so we're jumping right into it right now. The top 10 gifts to give the action motorsports fan in your life, starting out with number 10, the Mophie Juice Pack. Those of you that have an iPhone know exactly what I'm talking about. That battery drains when you're out in the desert, that you're at the short course track, you're at the Supercross event, you're at Global Rallycross, taking those pictures, Instagramming, your pictures and videos and everything else, and the Mophie Juice Pack. You definitely want one of those. Basically doubles the battery life of your phone, snaps right in. That's to me, I can tell you what, working in motorsports and being a driver, say the Vegas Torino race, there's only one way my iPhone makes it through the entire race, and that's with a juice pack on it. So you can check them out, Mophie.com. Number 9, I've got one of these myself as well. The Traxxas Rally Car, the Traxxas VXL Rally Car, was able to pick one of these up from the fine folks at Traxxas not too long ago. And I got to tell you, this thing is insane. You take your Traxxas short course trucks, lower it down a little bit, put a rally car body, all-wheel drive, and stiffen up the suspension. And this thing, I'll tell you what, it can slay some asphalt. It's durable. Trust me, my 5-year-old daughter's driven it and crashed it, and thing just keeps on ticking, and it's just a bad machine. So if you're looking for a remote control car that one will work in the snow, L1, you're up in the cold country, But, you know, something fun just to have in your driveway or, you know, the street out in front of your house, check out the Traxxas VXL rally car. Number eight on the list, we've got the GoPro Hero 3 Black Plus Edition. That's right, GoPro keeps up in their game each and every week. Well, it seems like that, but each and every reiteration of the GoPro, I mean, obviously GoPro, by now, if you don't know what a GoPro is, you've been living under a rock. But GoPro, I mean, they really, this the POV camera movement, you know, and I can tell you, you know, in trophy trucks and, you know, in skateboarding and bicycles and you name it. I mean, you know, these things are waterproof. You know, they've definitely raised the bar. They keep innovating. Great picture quality things, just suction cup to anywhere, mount anywhere. And they keep raising the bar. Now with this new Plus Edition, basically takes the GoPro Hero 3, shrinks it down a bit, and I mean, it's definitely, you know, I don't want to say an improvement on the other, but I've got a, you know, Hero 3 regular edition or a Hero 3 black in my trophy truck, and to think that this is a little bit smaller, definitely going to have to make the upgrade. So number eight on your list was the GoPro Hero 3 Black Plus Edition. Number seven of the top 10 gifts to give the action motorsports fan in your life, you want to skip over to speedenergy.com and check out the Speed Energy Shop. Not only do they have, you know, FlexFix sweatshirts, T-shirts, Robbie Gordon skateboards, Robbie Gordon Traxxas off-road trucks. They've got everything. They've got a new line of swag out just in time for the holidays. They've been running some specials off and on. Check out their Facebook page. You might find a coupon code or two there. And you can also order Speed Energy direct from their website and have it shipped to your house for the Robbie Gordon, the Speed Energy fan in your life. That's visit the Speed Energy Shop, speedenergy.com. Number six on the list is going to be your line of Impact and Mastercraft gear bags. Now, you've got all this swag. You've got all these toys. You got to have some way to carry it around. Go visit our friends at Impact Race Products and get your line of duffel bags, backpacks, you name it. They've got you covered. You can check them out, mastercraftsafety.com or impactraceproducts.com, and get some gear bags to carry all this new swag around. You know, they make some of the most highly durable, you know, gear bags on the planet. I've got, I've got a couple, you know, some travel bags from them. I've got my gear bag that I carry, my helmet, my Hans device, my uniform, the whole works in. Lots of different types of bags. I'm sure they've got one that will suit you. You definitely want to check them out, impactraceproducts.com. And number five on the list, Nitro Circus U.S. Tour tickets. That's right, Nitro Circus U.S. Tour kicking off the 1st of January, running all month long in January. I can tell you, I've already got my tickets for the Phoenix edition of the Nitro Circus Tour. Looking forward to going out and seeing Travis, Jolene, and all my friends on the Nitro Circus Tour. But I got to tell you, if you're going to get these tickets for somebody for Christmas, you better hurry, because all these venues nationwide are selling out very, very fast. They are just literally flying off shelves or off Ticketmaster. So pull them up, nitrocircus.com. They'll have a link to the U.S. Tour site where you can get your tickets all over the country in the month of January. I tell you what, if you're an action sports fan, you want to see a great show, a family-oriented show, I'm taking my five-year-old daughter and my wife. It's going to be a good time, so check them out, nitrocircus.com, your Nitro Circus U.S. Tour tickets. Number four on the list, we're going to the Mint 400 Anthology. Obviously, the Mint 400, one of the biggest, baddest desert races on the planet. They've been doing it for the reiteration of the Mint has been about it's been about 4 years now, and they just released an anthology that documents all four of the races. It's available on racedesert.com, $39.99, and it's got four full-length DVDs of all the races, the director's cut editions of it, and all produced by Mad Media. You definitely want to check it out, $39.99. And it literally just launched a few days ago. So I can tell you, if you've got an off-road fan in your life, I almost guarantee they don't have the Mint 400 Anthology. Next up on the list, our friends at Free Gun, freegun.com, Free Gun Underwear. You want to check them out. You got a friend, you know, you got a son, a daughter, a relative, a buddy that's into action sports. Check out Free Gun. It's not just underwear; it's an entire lifestyle. I mean, talk about board shorts, t-shirts, you know, pants, shoes, the whole works. It's available at freegun.com, and they've got men's, women's lines. You name it, they've got it. You want to check them out. They support not only off-road racing, but action sports, motocross, heavy into motocross. You want to check them out at freegun.com right now. And we're going to go to number two on the list. I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself here. Number two on the list, our friends at the Hoonigans, hoonigan.com. Full line of T-shirts, hats, sweatshirts, apparel for the tire slayer in your life. You know those boys at the Hoonigans. We've had them on air here before. They like to give back. You know, they just like to be silly, man. I tell you what, I was at their HQ in Los Angeles last week and had a good time. I mean, we're on Razor Crazy Carts spinning donuts. They've got cars all over doing burnouts. They've got remote control cars flying left and right. These guys just like to have a good time. It's all about the car culture. You got a car fan in your life, head on over to Hoonigan.com, H-O-O-N-I-G-A-N, Hoonigan.com. And check out their full line of apparel for the car person in your life, right? And the number one item on our list, the top 10 gifts to give the action motorsports fan, this is going to take this person from being a fan to actually being involved. You need to head over to dirtfish.com. That's right, Dirtfish Rally School. You need to go to our friends at Dirtfish and book them some time at the Dirtfish Experience. Everything from two-hour classes for $399 all the way up to three-day-long, all-immersive rally school training. It's, you know, if you've got a friend that loves off-road, that loves rally, that loves action motorsports, Dirtfish Rally School is where they need to be. You know, up there in Washington, a beautiful, beautiful facility. They've got those all-wheel drive Subarus. And I tell you what, they would thank you forever. They would be forever in debt to you. So head on up to dirtfish.com. Give them a follow on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. They've been throwing up some deals on these classes at Dirtfish all month of December. They've got specials running. I think, you know, on their website this morning, I just took a look, and they've got another special running. So book your time, get them a gift certificate, and send them to Dirtfish Rally School up there in Washington. Because, you know, if you're an action motorsports fan, there's no better gift than to be going to Dirtfish Rally School. So our top 10, we'll give you a rundown one more time. We have the Mophie Juice Pack. We have the Traxxas VXL Rally Car, the GoPro Hero 3 Black Plus Edition, Speed Energy Shop. We have the Impact Impact Gear Bags, Nitro Circus U.S. Tour Tickets, Mint 400 Anthology, Free Gun Underwear, the Hoonigans Swag, and Dirtfish Rally School. So if you've got an action motorsports or off-road fan in your life, I tell you what, there it is right there. I just planned your Christmas for you. Plenty of time to, you know, between now and December 25th to get that handled and send somebody up to Dirtfish Rally School. So, whew, got that one done. Sorry for the delay, man. We just had such a great show last week that that got pushed back to this week, but you still got over a week to get this stuff coming and have a good time with those fans in your life. So yeah, man. Quick go to a few announcements that we've had in the past week. Obviously, talked with Carl Rennes that are on the Red Bull Frozen Rush. That's happening. It's happening next month at the Sunday River Ski Resort in Maine. They announced their driver lineup, and I got to tell you, this is kind of like an all-star cast for Pro Four. We got Ricky Johnson, we've got Bryce Menzies, we've got Greg Adler, we got Scott Douglas, we got Johnny Greaves, Todd LeDuc, Rob McCracken, and Carl Rennesetter. And I got to tell you, my hat is off to Red Bull on this. One, they're putting on an event that totally thinks out of the box, but two, Red Bull basically said bring it in this. You know, they didn't limit it to Red Bull drivers and non-branded energy drink drivers. They said bring it on. We want the best of the best. Not only do you have the Red Bull drivers, you got the Rockstar drivers, you've got Monster Energy drivers. To me, I think that's very, very cool that Red Bull did that. you know, very cool. You know, they could have just strictly kept it to Red Bull drivers and drivers that you know, that they handpicked, you know, and now they opened the doors and said, you know what, come one, come all, we want this to be the biggest, baddest short course event, you know, ever. And they opened it up to all energy drinks, and that's the way it should be. So hats off to you, Red Bull, for making this happen. I am looking forward to it. And it looks like our good friend Chris Leone, that comes on and does our GRC reports. He's a Boston native, and it sounds like he's going to make his way up to Maine to that. Should be a lot of fun, and it's going to be streamed live online, and I don't know about television. I know it's going to be on TV at some point, but you're going to be able to watch this from your computers, from your TV, so you're going to definitely want to stay tuned for that. And I'm sure when we come back after the first of the year, we're going to be talking even more and more about it. We also have the SCORE Awards over the weekend happening down there in San Diego. SCORE did make a big announcement on the Baja 1000 TV package. December 26th, ESPN. December 28th, ABC. The Baja 1000 will be aired on ESPN and ABC. That is absolutely huge. Check score-international.com for your full times, I guess. I'm getting, you know, tongue-tied here. But the SCORE Awards did happen over the weekend. Obviously, you already know who the winners were of, you know, of the class championships, but they've got the Off-Roadsman of the Year Awards. We're going to get to that. SCORE Contingency Company of the Year, Rigid Industries. Motorcycle Manufacturer of the Year, KTM Motorcycles. SCORE Mechanic of the Year, Johnny Nelson, BJ Baldwin's co-rider, slash shop boss, I guess. So congrats goes out to Johnny Nelson. Pit Support Team of the Year, BF Goodrich Tires. Journalist of the Year, Gabriel Garcia from the El Vigia newspaper in Ensenada. He does a great job. If you're bilingual and like, you know, and can read in Spanish, check out El Vigia's website, because Gabriel Garcia, he does a great job of covering you know, off-road racing in Spanish, and he also writes in English too as well. So just does a great job. SCORE Photographer of the Year, High Rev Photo, Jason Zendrowski. Some of the best photos I've ever seen. Does a great job. Videographer of the Year, Temp Media. Congrats goes out to them. These are also the boys that were behind BJ Baldwin's Recoil. SCORE Rookie of the Year, Class 11, Rene Rodriguez. SCORE Buggy Manufacturer of the Year, Jimco. Engine Builder of the Year, Croyer. And SCORE Person of the Year, a little bittersweet here, Kurt Caselli. Obviously posthumously, you know, but congrats goes out to all of the SCORE Off-Roadsman of the Year award winners. Hats off to all you guys. You deserve it. Did a great job. And, yeah, you know, SCORE Off-Road, you know, the awards have been around for a long, long time. And, you know, and it's one of those things people look forward to every year. I mean, you know, that and now, you know, the Dirt Sports Awards as well. We're going to get to some ISOC snowcross racing results from a week ago. Looks like snowcross rounds 3 and rounds 4 were happening up there in Duluth, Minnesota. I'm getting tongue-tied here once again. Yeah, we had Pro Light in action. Looks like Andrew Leaders took the win. John Stenberg in third. Andrew Carlson fourth. Marcus Johansson in fourth. And Corey Watkinson in fifth. Round skipping forward to the second round that weekend. We had in the final round, we had Andrew Leaders, Corn Todd in second. Andrew Carlson third. Marcus Johnson in fourth. And John Stenberg rounding out your top five. And then we go to the Pro Open round 3, sponsored by Amsoil, and it looks like we had Tucker Hibbert once again on the top of the box, followed by Ross Martin, Cody Cam, Tim Trembley, Kyle Pallin, Mike Bauer, Justin Broberg, Adam Reinholm, Robbie Malinowski, and Ian Hayden rounding out your top 10. And skipping forward to Pro Open round 4, in your final, we had Tucker Hibbert once again, 4 in a row to start out this year. We had Kyle Pallin in second, Tim Trembley third, Cody Cam fourth, Ross Martin fifth, Darren Mees in sixth, Justin Broberg seventh, Cody Thompson in eighth, David Jonas in ninth, and Logan Christensen rounding out your top 10. And I got to tell you, Tucker Hibbert, man, this guy is on fire. You want to talk about the Ryan Villopoto of Snowcross? It's definitely Tucker Hibbert. This guy is on fire, man. He's just, it's unbelievable what Tucker Hibbert's been able to do the past couple of years. Absolutely unfreaking believable. He's just dominant. Who is going to step up and knock him off the box at this point? I don't know that it's going to happen. The guy is just on fire. I definitely need to work on getting him lined up for next year in an interview. This guy is just never seen it, and I know he's going for a record X Games next year. I lose track. What is it, 7 X Games golds in a row, back to back to back to back to back to back to back. Just insane what he's been able to accomplish. Talk about another level. This is a guy that is definitely on another level, and that is Tucker Hibbert. So we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we are going to have the storylines that define 2013. We're going to have Matt Martelli calling in, Courtney McCray, the boys at RaceDesert.com. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be fun. I'm definitely looking forward to it. It's going to take a short commercial break, and then we can roll till the end of the show with no more commercials. Stay tuned to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, fueled by Speed Energy. We'll be back in a couple minutes.
Very few companies can call themselves an industry leader. Racetech Seats is one of the few. It doesn't matter if you race off-road, rally, touring cars, sprint cars, drag racing, or boats. Chances are, Racetech Seats have a seat that will keep you safe, secure, and comfortable, allowing you to concentrate on winning. Racetech Seats meet and exceed the FIA crash test standard, are HANS compatible, flame resistant, and offer full containment, meaning you can race knowing you are protected by the best. More information can be found at www.racetech-usa.com. That's www.racetech-usa.com. Racetech Seats. Our passion is keeping you safe. There's only one.
Wynonna?
Wynonna Judd live at the Blue Water Amphitheater.
No one else.
Don't miss Wynonna and the Big Noise live Saturday, January 25th. Performing music from her solo career and hits from her days with the Judds. Tickets are $50 general admission or $75 for VIP. Gates open at 2. Show starts at 4 p.m. January 25th and only at Blue Water Resort and Casino in Parker, Arizona. Looking to have some screen printing, embroidery, or design work done? Intense Tees has you covered. Intense Tees provides the highest quality and detail for custom screen printing and embroidery services for corporations, schools, race teams, and all organizations alike. Complete line creation, including designing of an entire corporate identity, product line creation, support promotions, product packaging, exciting banners, polos, tees, sweatshirts, caps, and vinyl decals. Intense Tees is the official apparel provider for the Down and Dirty Off-Road Show. Find out more on the web at www.intensetees.com. That's www.intensetees.com.
Santa, I don't want a bike. I want a Ford Escape.
Hold the phone. Oh, boy. I can't seem to get anyone interested in dollies or superhero outfits. Nothing.
I want a Ford Super Duty.
Ah. One of the elves told me about the Ford Dream Big sales event going on at your local Ford dealer. Oh, so these children have visions of fuel-efficient vehicles with smart features dancing in their heads.
I'm thinking the Ford Fusion.
Wow, earning my milk and cookies this year.
During the Dream Big sales event at your Arizona Ford dealers, lease a Fusion for just $169 a month. Not all buyers will qualify for Ford Credit Red Carpet Lease. Payments may vary. Dealer determines price. Residency restrictions apply. Cash due at signing is after $750 customer cash and $1,000 conquest cash. Available to current lessees of non-Ford Motor Company vehicles with proof of ownership. Conquest and bonus cash require Ford credit financing. Take new retail delivery from dealer stock by January 2nd. See dealer for details.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink. Man, we've had a great show thus far. The legend, Carl Rennesetter, probably one of the winningest short course drivers of all time, was on air earlier today. And here in just a few short minutes, we're going to have Matt Martelli, Courtney McCray, the boys at RaceDesert.com, all calling in, and we're going to have a roundtable discussion on the top 10 storylines in off-road and rally for 2013. And I don't want to say top 10 storylines because we had an internal discussion on this, and we're already through that out. We're going to call it the storylines that define 2013. We're not going to have a top-to-bottom 1 through 10 list. We're just going to hit on some points that that were big this year. We're going to talk a little bit of Global Rallycross, a little bit of World Rally Championship, probably some desert racing and short course thrown in, and just everything that kind of defined 2013. And as we said earlier, I don't know if there's ever been a year and I say Action Motorsports because it's such a young culture, a year that's defined, that's really defined it as much as this year. I mean, geez, Global Rallycross made inroads, had the huge Red Bull announcement, I'm just thinking about all these storylines. Looks like we've got a caller. Let's see who we've got here. All right, who do we have first calling in here for our roundtable discussion?
This would be Courtney.
Hey, how's it going, Courtney? We're waiting on Matt and some of the boys to call in. So how was your weekend?
It was pretty good. Did a lot of family stuff, getting ready for the holidays. So nothing too exciting, though. How about yourself?
It was pretty good. Actually, kind of mellow. Nice. I'm actually flying out to Minnesota next week. So trying to get some things bundled up here in Arizona and get ready for the cold weather, so to speak.
Yeah, you're in for it, that's for sure.
The good news is my brother-in-law's got a nice selection of Polaris snowmobiles for me to ride. So.
Oh, that sounds like a horrible holiday trip.
Exactly. before the other guys call in, let's talk a little bit about 2013. I mean, I think talking about all these years in off-road and rally and stuff like that, to me there was – I don't want to say more storylines in 2013, but do you feel like, I mean, this year there was such big storylines? I mean, we had some huge things happen this year.
I agree. Like you said, it seems like maybe not so much the frequency of events happening, but just way more drastic and well-known stories were happening in 2013. And I don't know if that's something to say about the future of our sport or if it's just a coincidence, but I'm really hoping that it is telling us that our sport is growing and going to be great in 2014.
Well, I know, all of us kind of, I would say, in the endemic, we hate using the term mainstream, but it seemed like, in the past, we get a blip on, say, ESPN or on Fox Sports or something like that, and it's huge news, but it seemed like this year the frequency of those blips was more and more, and it's almost like it's not that big of a deal anymore when we do get that mainstream publicity.
I agree, and I think Mad Media's production of the Mint 400 kind of has a lot to do with it. It seems like that was the first film or coverage, you should say, that got a lot of airtime on TV, and it seems like ever since that's aired over the past few years, they've picked up a lot more of the off-road races and given them more mainstream showtime rather than like Fox Sports 2 or the kind of like back burner sports channel. So it's kind of nice that I honestly think that Mad Media helped bring us a little bit more mainstream, and I'm sure that their production value will keep the sport growing in that aspect. So I think I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, no, I agree with you. And to that point, I think, that's something to definitely look at. There's a lot of motorsports that are televised with TV, but at the end of the day, when you're on, the Southwest, Outdoor Network, Channel 2 or something like that, how many people are actually watching it? But, what Mad Media's been able to do is, put it on, I guess now it's gone, but Speed Channel, and it's a channel that, if you have TV, you get that channel.
Exactly. Yeah, pretty crazy to see how we've grown.
Yeah, exactly. Let's talk about King of the Hammers before we get Matt and the guys call in. Talking about King of the Hammers, you have been out there the past couple of years. To me, it's just had exponential growth. You know, it's just insane to see the sheer mass amount of people that have been out there, and especially this past year.
Oh, it is absolutely crazy. And I mean, I can honestly say that I was not there the first year, but just hearing the stories about the OG 13 or whatever it is that they call it, there was literally 13 buddies that said, hey, let's go do all the Hammers trails and see who can finish first. And I mean, it went from 13 people the first year, kind of grew a little bit the next year. And then, I mean, you look at not only the spectator count, but the number of people that actually enter into the race, and just everything about King of the Hammers has just grown exponentially. And I mean, that's something to say for rock sports as well. Normally most of the desert guys kind of think of the rock donkeys as just, we're slow and we don't know how to go fast and we just crawl and all that. But a lot of the crossover guys that have come out, I think, see how gnarly it actually is. And I think getting the crossover guys and the ones that go back and tell everyone else about how insane this race is, I think that has helped a lot, too.
All right. Looks like we've got somebody else calling in. We'll see who we're getting chiming in here.
Okay.
Hey, you're
live on
the radio show. How's it going?
Good. It's Matt Martelli.
All right, Matt. So you're joining Jim Beaver and Courtney McCray on air, and we just kind of got into these top storylines that define 2013, and pretty much the big one right off the top we were talking about was King of the Hammers and just the exponential growth they've seen there.
Yeah, no, you know, King of Hammers is such a cool event, and it's what the value is that it's such a crossover event and appeals to so many people. So I predict big things for them, and, you know, Dave Cole's a good friend of mine, and he's already pushed into markets that desert racing has never gotten into in Europe and a few other places. So I think it's a really cool event, and I'm definitely a fan after going to the first one. I don't know how many years ago. You know, I was converted instantly. You know, being a desert guy, I want to go fast. So rock crawling really never appealed to me until I saw King of the Hammers. And once I saw that and really, you know, saw Shannon Campbell driving over people, I was like, okay, I get it. This is cool.
Well, and Courtney, let's talk about Poison Spider. I mean, obviously you guys are, you know, this is your demographic. I mean, you know, you know, this is one of the first events of the year. And I would say that this is probably one of your biggest marketing opportunities of the year, correct?
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's a full, for us, it's pretty much like almost 2 weeks on the lake bed, but you figure between not only our vendor booth, our pit spot on the short course, but our race car itself, everything about King of the Hammers is marketing for us. So literally from the second we get back from SEMA until the beginning of February, that is all we focus on, is getting everything ready for King of the Hammers. So, I mean, that says a lot that we spend that many months getting ready for it, just because that's how important it is to us. So it's a big one for sure in our market.
Yep. Well, let's skip forward to another, talk about another major event. The Mint 400 solidifies itself as one of the world's premier motorsports events. And I think, you know, on that note, there's probably nobody better to talk about the Mint 400 than one of the owners of the Mint 400, Matt Martelli.
Yeah, well, let me tell you, I have a whole new respect for anybody who's crazy enough to put on an off-road race. So, you know, we've worked our butts off, and, you know, we've been able to accomplish a lot over the last couple of years, and with a lot of good people and good sponsors helping us. But honestly, for us, I mean, we're just getting started. We have a long ways to go. The Mint has such a rich history, and we want to, you know, build it into one of the biggest motorsports events, you know, on the planet, you know. And so, you know, that's our goal. And, you know, we're heading in that direction. We've been, you know, what I like to call stacking bricks and heading, you know, growing and growing every year. So, no, it's great. We have a lot of good things coming for this year. It looks like we're going to have to figure a way out how to put more people out on that course, because we're already getting entries. And, you know, and, you know, the television package again is 2-hour show on Speed, or I'm sorry, Fox Sports 1 again this year, and we have a lot of announcements that will be coming the first of the year that I think everybody will be excited about. So, you know, honestly, it's been really great growing it.
Yeah, well, and I know, you know, somebody that's, you know, been there and done that, it's, you know, to me, it's great that you guys, you pitched it out where it's not just a Friday, Saturday type deal. I mean, you know, starting on Wednesday, there's stuff that kicks in, and then Thursday and Friday and Saturday. And I mean, I would say, you know, nobody knows about all the ancillary events more than Courtney, because she's actually competed in the General Tire Miss Mint competition.
Yep, I've been a part of the Mint in every aspect, everything from Miss Mint to racing. So it's definitely my favorite week of the year every year.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things about it is it's an experience. It's not just a race. And the way we're trying to expand it and design it is so that people who may not be into off-road racing will still come in, to Vegas and come party with us, and we can convert them into spectators, you know. So we pay a lot of attention to other sports that are successful and try and take what we think will work from those motorsports or those sports and bring them into off-road. I mean, at the end of the day, it's, you know, about raising the profile of off-road and getting more attention for it so that we can, you know, continue to grow and so we can gain new sponsors and have more races.
Yeah, absolutely. So moving forward, and this one came from Killian when we had, and I told the listeners beforehand, this wasn't just something I threw out there. We've kind of had a little bit of internal discussion on it. But Killian had made mention, obviously, he works with Matt at Mad Media and the Mint 400. Some of the things that have sprung up this year, and I don't want to say mainstream because I hate using that word, but, you know, that have really kind of brought our sport out of the box. I mean, obviously, XP1K that you guys did, Matt. We've had Recoil, Driving Dirty with Bryce Menzies. We've got Rob McCachran's series that Rockstar does. I mean, you know, Mark Post has done some work with Apple. We had the Barrel Roll with Adrian Chenny. I mean, it seems like this year we've had so many things pop up that have really helped, bring people into our culture.
Yeah, and not only that, but, like, you know, it's not just the online content, which has been amazing. And we've hit kind of like a new stride where not just the amount of content, but the quality of content has the bar has been raised. So that's one thing that's really important is that when people do research off-road racing or Google it, that they find things that are, you know, of high quality and compelling so that they want to do it. It's not just like, you know, oh, look, there's some crash or some disaster. It's, you know, really quality content. But the other big thing is television. I mean, we have never had as much television coverage in the history of off-road culture as we have now. I mean, we have Torque and Lucas Oil, and we have Best of the Desert coverage and so on. So, it's been a really good year for off-road, and 2014 looks like, you know, we're going to have more. It looks like Score is going to sort out their television and get some of that on TV. So I predict big things for off-road in the near future and in the long-term future. Because it goes back to why we got involved with the Mint is that I believe in the product of off-road racing. I always use the analogy of I feel like I'm a crack dealer and I just have to get everybody to try crack and it's a wrap.
Yeah. Well, and Courtney, let's talk to you for a second. I mean, you've traveled the country, with Poison Spider, and you go to not only off-road events, but all kinds of consumer events, around the country. I mean, what's the vibe you're getting from these people about, you know, what's happening here in the Southwest?
You know, I think to everyone other than here in the Southwest, everything that we do as far as, like, desert and the short course sports is just a whole other world to a lot of these people. They all think that it's so amazing and so cool, and to us it's something we're around all the time, so it's kind of, I mean, it doesn't seem as big of a deal as it is in reality to us that are involved in it so much, but it's pretty crazy how many people from, say, like Florida or Pennsylvania know who BJ Baldwin is or know what the Lucas Oil series is just basically from TV and from social media. So that goes, I mean, obviously everyone that is involved in getting all this information out there and all these clips and YouTube and TV shows out there, you guys are doing the right thing and exactly what you were saying, Matt. You're making it interesting and portraying it in a better light than, say, the only time we were ever on TV before was because there was a crash or something like that. So you guys are definitely educating the masses but entertaining them as well. So it's definitely quality content that's striking interest all over the nation.
All right. Well, let's move forward to the next bullet point. This one came from Courtney, and this one, I honestly, it was an oversight on my part. Johnny Campbell Racing, which I think it encompasses some of the previous stuff that Honda did. 17 straight Baja 1000s in a row. To me, that's just insane.
Yeah, this is, Jim, this is gnarly. And I mean, you know, it's one thing to have success in a four-wheel vehicle and, you know, be able to have big amounts of money behind you and, you know, and so on. But, man, doing any desert racing on a bike is insane. And then when you get into the longer desert races, you know, these guys really don't get enough credit for what they're doing. And, you know, Honda has been so good to off-road racing and Campbell. It's incredible. I mean, that feat is just gnarly. So, I mean, you know, it's one thing to say, all right, I won the 1000 or I won this in this class in a four-wheel vehicle, but to do it on a two-wheel bike, I mean, out in front of everybody, it's, you know, it takes, you know, big conies.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I mean, you know, and I know you were actually talking with Johnny on this, right, Courtney?
Yeah, I chatted with him and Colton just a little bit at Glen Helen for the Kurt Caselli day. And I mean, it's not as if they were bragging about it or anything, but it just kind of came up in conversation that this was the 17th year that they had won. And I mean, that just blew me away. Like, it's like Matt was saying, it's one thing to maybe win it once or twice or maybe win it every other year or something, but 17 years straight is absolutely crazy. Johnny is definitely doing something right, both with his bike prep, but the way that he manages that team.
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, that leads us on to the next one that, you know, and I don't want to call it the white elephant in the room, but, and I know he, you know, he was just honored at the SCORE Awards banquet, but one of the major storylines of 2013 obviously had to be Kurt Caselli passing away at the Baja 1000.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that was, I mean, it was terrible. I mean, Caselli was, you know, kind of in his prime and just, you know, just doing so well and, you know, just such a great person, an extremely talented driver, I'm sorry, extremely talented rider. And for this to happen at this time was just shocking. And, you know, really, you know, after all the dust settled and the rumors settled, it was an accident. And it's a really real tragedy that it happened. But, you know, comes back to why this sport is so gnarly. It's dangerous, you know. And, you know, he'll be remembered as a true champion. So, yeah, it was a real blow to the off-road community. But, you know, I think that the best thing that we can do is honor him by, you know, living on through his memory and doing what he did, doing what he loved doing, you know. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have anything, Courtney?
I mean, that one hit me pretty close to home just because so many of my buddies ride, but I think the best way to look at that situation is he went out basically on top, and he went out doing what he loved, so we can all be thankful at least that he didn't die from cancer or some terrible terminal illness. And from going to his memorial ride day to see the thousands of people that he impacted, I mean, you can just tell that, like Matt said, he's going to live on as a legend forever in all of our eyes, and I don't think that he'll be forgotten next week or next year. So I think even though it was a tragedy, I think it's something that we can all take and learn from, maybe. I know that they set up a foundation in his honor to start researching some safety mechanisms for the moto guys in the long distance races. It's already hopefully make our sport a little bit safer just to see or learn from his incident.
Yeah, definitely. So moving on to the next one, and, you know, this is one that's just absolutely insane to me. Obviously, you know, well over 200 wins now, but Rob McCachran this year, 5 series, ran Torque, Lucas Oil, Stadium Super Trucks, Best in the Desert SCORE, took over 88 green flags. I've never heard anything like this. It's absolutely mind-blowing to me.
Yeah, and let's not forget he has the coolest hair in off-road.
That had a Facebook page dedicated to his hair, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. No, Rob is a through-and-through champion. I mean, you know, it's funny because I was just at the PRI show and, you know, I ran into a lot of NASCAR guys and some big name racers, and we were talking about off-road, and Rob's always the first person they bring up, you know? So, you know, although he may not be as known outside of off-road, you know, the guys who matter know, you know? So just absolutely incredible, you know, driver and a class act.
Yeah, I don't think, you know, I've been around motorsports long enough that it's, everybody thinks highly of him. And I mean, you know, you get these, you know, you look back like 10 years ago and I mean, he was, you know, he basically carried the torch for off-road. I mean, for a long, long time. I mean, I can't think of what it is, but the sports writers nationwide, you know, put together like a list of the top 10 drivers, you know, in the country every year or something. And we're talking back 10, 15 years ago and, you know, off-road was a small blip on the radar. And here Rob is getting these awards next to John Force and, you know, and Jeff Gordon and Dale Earnhardt. And to me, that was, you know, Rob has carried the torch for this industry for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, as he should be. I mean, I would argue the fact that in a lot of cases, you know, the feats that Rob has performed are much more difficult than pavement racing, you know? I mean, there's clearly there's less consistency in the surface and the, you know, and the variables, but also, you know, it is not easy to put together a race program at the level he's put together a race program at. So, you know, again, you know, I have a lot of respect for Rob and what he's done throughout his career. And, you know, it was the funny thing about him being inducted into the Off-Road Hall of Fame is, you know, he stood there and went, guys, I'm not finished. So it's going to be exciting to watch him race, you know, from now until whenever he decides that he's done.
Yeah, which to be, you know, in all honesty, could be a really long time from now also.
Yeah, I don't see him being ready to, quote unquote, retire anytime soon. He enjoys what he does way too much to step away for any reason other than he has to at some point in his life. So,
well, and you know, and I could definitely see Rob as one of those guys. I mean, you look at what Johnny Greaves has done with CJ, you know, and Rob's got kids that are coming up and getting to that age where they could probably start wheeling a truck at some point, you know, and maybe, you know, obviously a trophy cart, you know, and, you know, going through there. But, you know, I could definitely see Rob, one of those guys, passing on the torch to his kids.
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely, you know. Hopefully it runs in the family.
Exactly. So, you know, let's – and this is less than a week old, and this is going to make one of the top storylines in off-road. And I know, Matt, you'd made mention on racedesert.com that this could be the storyline of 2013 and 2014. Stadium Super Trucks and the X Games. This one came out of nowhere. I don't think anybody saw this one coming. You know, Robbie Gordon, you know, basically getting Stadium Super Trucks into the X Games. That's in its second year. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, I mean – what can you say about Robbie Gordon except for you can't kill this guy. You cannot stop him. You can take everything away from him, and somehow he passes the finish line in front of you, you know? So I think he applies that same crazy work ethic to, you know, his business as well. And so, you know, it was rumored that the Torque Series was going to have, you know, X Games, and everybody was excited, and, you know, there was a lot of phone calls going back and forth, and all of a sudden he shows up with it like, you know, like a happy dog with a bone in his mouth. And, man, now what do we get out of it as off-road? Well, we're in X Games, and it's going to be awesome.
Well, and I think, you know, to me, you know, he's basically said, if you're an off-road guy and you think you can compete, he's like, you know, open invite to the X Games, pretty much pony up, you know, the price to rent the truck and go and show what you're at. So, you know, to me, it's going to allow guys, you know, say B.J. Baldwin, who doesn't normally run Stadium Super Trucks. If B.J.'s got an extra, you know, and I don't want to estimate on the cost, but, you know, he could basically go, hey, you know, I want to do X Games. I'm one of the best, and let's see how we do, you know. And it's one of those things. It's not, you know, I think Robbie's approaching it not as an, you know, not as an elitist type of deal, but, hey, you know, I want to bring the off-road community along with me on this project. If you've got the coin and you think you can compete, come on.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm obviously super excited about this, and for two reasons. One, because, you know, we get to show the entire planet, you know, what off-road racing is, and this is, you know, SST is just a gateway to the rest of off-road. The other reason is because we have a ton of really talented kids in the sport that need a place to go showcase their skills, you know, beyond what we're giving them now. And, you know, can you imagine the RJ Andersons and the CJ Greaves the next game? I mean, you know, this is going to be awesome. I mean, this is, you know, one of the things that we've always hoped for in off-road, and now it's happening.
Yeah. And, well, and I know, you know, Courtney, you've been out to a lot of the stadium super trucks races in Southern California. I mean, you know, how do you feel about this announcement? You know, what are your thoughts on it?
I think it's a pretty good fit. I mean, a lot of X Games is very extreme sports, but also very crowd-friendly sports, or spectator-friendly, I guess. And, I mean, if you think about it, most desert races, unless you're on a team, you really don't know where to be or where is the right spot to stand to watch the sport. Short course is probably the next best spectator sport, but I think SST, being that it's such a confined space, really provides the most action. So I think that it's definitely going to be something that catches a lot of attention in X Games, and hopefully will be the gateway drug to all these mainstream people to at least spark interest in off-road. Maybe not necessarily take up the sport and do it themselves, but at least to be interested and come out to the desert or come out to a short course track and start watching other avenues of the sport.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think you're right on point, Courtney. And, you know, the other thing I'd say is that the other opportunity is going to be for the crossover guys. I mean, you can bet that Dave Mira, you know, Travis Pastrana, anybody who can wheel a car is going to come into this and go, hey, I want to get involved in this as well.
Exactly.
For sure. So speaking of X Games, let's skip over to the GRC side of things. And two storylines in Global Rallycross, we'll hit them both and then, you know, get some opinions on them both. But number one, and I think this one came out of thin air for anybody that follows Global Rallycross, Topi Häkkinen, 5 straight Global Rallycross race wins, including 2 X Games wins. You know, you've got guys like Ken Block, who didn't get his first win until the last event of this year, and he's competed in every Global Rallycross round. And you've got this, you know, charismatic kid from Finland coming over and, you know, and taking 5 straight in Global Rallycross. To me, it was just, it's just crazy, and no one saw that one coming.
Yeah, I mean, this kid's incredible. And the crazy thing is, really, nobody knows who he is. Even though he's done so well, he's just starting his career. And, you know, it's going to be cool to watch him continue to battle in GRC and hopefully in other stuff. I mean, this goes back to, I don't want to get too off track, but, like, you know, I'd love to see this kid in a trophy truck or Pro 2, you know, and see what he can do there. You know, but for those people that don't know, that area of the country consistently produces some of the best drivers in the world, and particularly off-road and rally drivers. So, you know, it's really no surprise that a kid from that area, you know, starts driving at, you know, 5-6 years old and racing and, you know, turns out to be, you know, one of the best rally drivers on the planet.
For sure. And then, you know, the other storyline, you know, kind of tying in with that here in Las Vegas, I know Matt was out there and, you know, obviously Courtney was at SEMA show. Global Rallycross announcing Red Bull is a title sponsor for next year, the first title sponsor in GRC history. You know, basically Red Bull, you know, they've knocked it out of the park. You can't ask for a better partner. You know, where do you guys, you know, what do you think Red Bull is going to bring to the table for Global Rallycross?
You know, it's a no-brainer. Red Bull over the last few years has grown to be one of the largest media groups in the world. So having them as a partner instantly puts you into, you know, international, you know, markets as well as national markets, and puts you right onto you know, things like NBC. So it's going to be really good.
Yeah. Well, we're getting a beep from somebody here.
Yeah, that was me, sorry.
Oh, no. So, I don't know. You have any thoughts on Red Bull, Courtney, and Global Rallycross? And, you know, obviously you've been around and seen what Red Bull can do for other series. You know, you think it's really going to help elevate Global Rallycross over the next year or two?
I think it will. I mean, not to knock any of the other energy drinks, but I think most of the other energy drinks come in strictly as a sponsor when they take or become a sponsor of a series, but I think Red Bull takes much more involvement than just throwing money at the sport. So I think they actually care enough to where they're going to promote it, and they tend to make any extreme sport that they become involved with pretty exciting, and I think that they will definitely do a lot for rally, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Red Bull's been the one that's any of you guys familiar with crashed ice? I mean, they've made ice skate racing popular.
Yeah. No, they've helped a lot of events and a lot of cultures grow. So I think they're going to be a you know, just an awesome partner to grow it. And, you know, I'm a huge fan of rally and rallycross, and you know, I just think that they've dealt with a bunch of growing pains, in particular not having tracks that are purpose built. You know, and it looks like they're going to address that because you know, when you see their counterpart in Europe, the ERC, it's some of the best racing on the planet. You know, they're banging doors, they're jumping, they're flying sideways. It's really exciting, and I think that GRC will be able to evolve into that and attract, you know, drivers from all over the world, as well as, you know, with the Lights program, be able to develop young drivers, you know?
Yep, absolutely. So skipping back to the off-road side of things, this one, you know, I don't know, what are you guys' thoughts? Torque changing hands once again, obviously going to the Armory, you know, a group that's worked closely with Torque over the past couple of years. You think this is going to finally give Torque kind of the solid foundation they need to move forward and progress?
Yeah, I mean, I'll chime in on this one again. Seems like I'm doing all the talk in court. You could jump in, but no, no worries. I'm like, go. It's tough. And, you know, running a league is crazy. I mean, I can tell you from our experience of running one race, I do not want to have, you know, that league position job. It's tough because you've got to go make decisions and serve markets that aren't that great in some cases. So, you know, BJ has a lot of good ideas and good intentions, and I'd say if 30 to 50% of those get fulfilled, you know, Torque is going to be, you know, really strong. You know, they're going and doing some things that, you know, that Lucas isn't doing, so I think that's good. And, you know, there's this old argument of like, oh, we only need to have one league. Yeah, I don't necessarily agree with that. You know, I think that there's enough money out there that there's room for everybody. But what I would like to see, I'd like to see a race that they all come together and do battle, either at Crandon or, you know, some race on the West Coast, you know. Ultimately, I think it's a good thing. You know, it could prove to be just what Torque needs to stabilize and grow.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. What do you think, Courtney, Torque, moving forward? You know, how do you feel about this new arrangement and, you know, in the future for Torque?
You know, I'll be quite honest. I try so hard to stay out of all the short course drama as far as the 2 series, so I wasn't even aware that Torque changed hands, to be quite honest. But I definitely agree with what Matt was saying, that I think that it's not a problem that we have 2 different series, and I hope that they both can grow and continue to succeed. And I think the fact that they're both pretty much on separate coasts kind of allows for that to happen. But I do agree that I wish they would all come together and have peace so that we could have one kind of battle of the East versus West, not series, but a race where they both can come together. So hopefully if Torque is under new ownership, that they will be able to maybe arrange that with Lucas and maybe they'll get along a little bit better as far as the drama side of things goes. Who knows? You never know in this sport.
Yep. Well, we've got another short course storyline. Carl Rennesetter, 7 straight wins in Pro 4 to start this year. You know, 7 straight, that's it's a pretty remarkable feat. To me, that's just crazy.
Yeah, I mean, this guy's a champion through and through. I mean, I can't say enough good things about Carl as a racer, a champion of our sport, as a man, as a father. I mean, you know, I consider him a pretty good friend, and I'm always impressed with, you know, not just how he, you know, what he achieves, but how he does it, you know, and how graceful he is, and, you know, how generous he is in helping other drivers and so on. So, you know, it's just awesome. I mean, there's been certain points where I've really felt proud that I'm a part of off-road culture, and, you know, his championships are one of them.
Well, and you know, it was funny talking with him, you know, because I had him on air before you two called in, And I told him, I said, you got this trophy truck sitting in the garage. What's the deal? And he said, yeah, I need to drag that thing out, don't I? I think we need to push him for the mint, Matt. I think, what do you think, buddy?
Hey, I'm 100% there, even if I have to go on and change the tires for him.
You go to a lot of the Lucas events, Courtney. You go to a Lucas Oil off-road event, and who's the one of the number one drivers that pops into your mind when you show up to the event?
Definitely Carl and Rob McCachran, that's for sure. And they both are drivers, and just like you guys were saying, I would love to see Carl out in the desert because he is definitely a driver. It has nothing to do with anything special in his truck or any special ability back in the pits, but that man can drive the wheels off anything that you put him behind, I'm sure. So I would love to see him out in the desert.
Yeah, it was funny because I asked him when he was on air, I said, you've got 100 short course wins. I said, we're not comparing apples to apples with Rob Max 200. I said, how many desert racing wins do you have? And he says, I don't know. He says, I've got a bunch in the past. And he says, I don't know how many I've won, so we just say 100 short course wins because my real total, he's like, I have no idea.
I'd like to be in that position, but no, I know one, he has one, which is the Baja 1000, and he did it with a hell of a team when he did it, so I think obviously everybody knows what I want to see, which is these racers racing in all forms of off-road racing, because, to me, that's really the kind of cool glue that pulls everybody together is not just one discipline, but multiple disciplines.
Yeah. Well, and, as we're winding this list down, one of the top ones on the list, and to do it once is amazing. To do it twice is mind-numbing. BJ Baldwin, back-to-back Baja 1000 wins solo. I know both of you know BJ personally. I mean, both of you can chime in on this. What are your thoughts on this achievement? I mean, it's crazy. I mean, that puts him with some very elite company.
Absolutely. I think my favorite part about that is how much he idolizes Ivan Stewart. And I think, not that it's ironic, but I think that it's awesome that he's able to follow in Ivan's footsteps and be an Ironman himself. And not only be an Ironman, but a winning and champion Ironman. That says a lot. I mean, it's one thing to race the entire Baja 1000 solo, but to win it and 2 years in a row by yourself, that's absolutely insane. And that takes a lot of preparation, not only on the vehicle itself, but on your body physically and mentally. So that's a huge feat, and I'm super proud of him for doing it both years.
Yeah, I mean, everybody knows that BJ and I have had a long relationship together, and, he's awesome, and I'm really proud of him, especially for this one. I was proud of him for the last one because, outside of the controversy, what he did was incredible. I mean, it's one thing to win the race. It's another thing to win it and drive by yourself. People have no understanding of how difficult it is to just finish this race, let alone Ironman it and win. It's just, I didn't think it was possible anymore because of the level of competition, and I remember talking to him about it a couple of years ago and wouldn't that be rad? And both of us concluded it's not possible. And so now he's done it twice. I mean, I would be hard-pressed to believe that, I don't know if there's anybody that could do this again. And so he's really drawing a line and throwing the gauntlet down at such a high level. It's pretty incredible. I mean, a few years back when Tony Hawk pulled the 900, I was trying to explain to people how difficult that was. It's really, it's not comparable to other sports because most sports, aren't an individual, they're a team. So, but, the closest thing I could explain it is it'd be like walking up to a plate and hitting home runs every time you get out there. I mean, it's statistically impossible, and he's done it. So I have a lot of respect for BJ, and what he's done. And I I'm looking forward to the future of him racing Dakar and doing other things because, clearly, he earned that nickname, Ballistic. I mean, he did it,
Yep. And speaking of Dakar, that was we've got the two storylines left, and one of the two is definitely Dakar. It seems like, I'm a huge fan of Dakar, but I don't follow it like I should. But it seems like to me in the past year to 2 years, it's really here in the United States kind of got a bit of a foothold. And, and people are actually more aware of the race than ever before. And we're getting a stronger American contingent down there competing.
Yeah, I mean, I think in a large part, clearly that's due to Robbie Gordon. And, we see it with Race Desert, and it's really funny because the minute Robbie's out of the race, it's like somebody shut the power off or something that, everybody stops following it. So I think that that's really important, and also he's created a gateway for other drivers to come through. In fact, BJ's first foray into rally raid Dakar style racing was with Robbie, as a wingman. And he's done a lot for the sport, but one of the things that I'm excited to see is more Americans go there and get involved. And what I'd really like to see, and here's where I call out all the factories for, Mitsubishi, Dodge, Toyota, all you guys, you guys need to back up an American team, and we need to go there and kick everybody's ass. I mean, come on, this is a global competition, with motorsports and the products that you make. It's time to show them what we're made of, and go and put these minis to rest. I mean, to me, that's the biggest joke is, like, you have a mini team out there smoking everybody. We're America. We make the off-road products. They copy us.
Yeah. Built Ford tough, and you hear that, but yet, you've got these minis running around and beating everybody at Dakar. No, I agree with you. It's calling, calling the American manufacturers out and saying, hey, this is one of the biggest motorsports events in the world. And most of them aren't competing.
Yeah. And I would go even further. I would encourage, the audience out there, everybody on Race Desert to get a little bit riled up about it and say, if you go there, if you support our drivers and you're successful, hell, even if you go do it and you're not successful, I will buy your product because of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and how do you feel about Dakar, Courtney? I mean, obviously the past 2 years, especially now with BJ and Robbie and everybody getting involved, I mean, what are your thoughts on it and how it's kind of taken a foothold in our off-road community here in the States?
I would have to agree with Matt. I mean, again, this is another one of those things where I don't follow all that closely, and my knowledge of it is based on the desert, so correct me if I'm wrong about anything I say, but I definitely think that Robbie is the reason why the United States has any involvement in it whatsoever, and it's pretty awesome to see the American entries growing, and I know that it's still not as many as we'd like to see, but I hope that BJ and, is it Quinn Cody that's going to be riding with BJ this year, I think. But I hope that they can be very successful just to make it even that much more appealing to not only other drivers from the United States, but like Matt was saying, the factories and our American companies to support it more or at all. That way we can build a stronger foothold over there.
Well, and that's kind of where my hat's off to a lot of these companies who have supported Robbie, originally. I mean, these American companies, Jim Beam, I know Greg Adler at Four Wheel Parts. A lot of them have gone out on a whim, and Polaris is another one. And supported this really not knowing, what kind of return they were going to get on their investment, really kind of went out on a limb and supported Robbie originally. And obviously it's come back to him tenfold. But there was a lot of guys that supported him when he first started this project, and I really don't know if they thought that they would ever get their money back.
Yeah, I mean, I get that it's a hard thing to quantify. However, I would come back to, really the root of everything of why we're motivated to buy products. And, it's because we associate ourselves with a culture. And I can tell you right now, as a kid that was born in Detroit on a street that had a union hall, that they would come flip over your foreign cars if you parked a foreign car. I bought a Toyota, and I bought a Toyota because I saw Ivan Stewart racing the Baja 1000 as a kid. I still drive Toyotas to this day. I mean, so it just shows you the power of cultural branding, So I think that it's severely underrated, and what's cool about Dakar to me is that it's the biggest global fist fight in off-road motorsports, and really it's up for grabs. I mean, there's, when we talk about other global motorsports like WRC and Formula One, you know, the level of financial commitment and knowledge that you have to have just to even show up is just, it's crazy. It's almost insurmountable. But Dakar is wide open, and it's achievable. And Robbie's been proving that pretty much as a privateer, you know. So if we could give him some support or give some of the other drivers some support, I mean, that's really what I want to see. I want to see us go there, and I want to see a Ford on top of the box. I want to see a Chevy on top of the box. I want to see a Ram on top of the box and show them that we build the biggest, baddest, toughest, fastest, superior vehicles on the planet. You know, that's what it's about to me.
Yeah, for sure. And finally, our the biggest storyline of 2014 or 2013. I'm sorry, and I know both of you will be able to chime in on this one. The Roger Norman era of SCORE begins, and I think SCORE, they hold two of the biggest off-road events in the world, being the Baja 500 and the Baja 1000. Love them or hate them, I mean, Roger Norman's here to stay. Baja 500 and Baja 1000 aren't going away anytime soon. What are your feelings on the new era SCORE? Let's start with you, Courtney.
I think that, like you're saying, no matter love them or hate them, it's going to happen and we're all going to have to adjust to the change. But Sal did a lot of things right, and there was also some things that he had room for improvement on. And I think that Roger sees the areas that had room for improvement and for growth. And I think that he's definitely trying to, I would say, market not just the races themselves, but the entire series a little bit better. And I think that he's been able to get some major backing that there was not in the Sal era. Monster came on board huge, Rigid came on board huge, and there's a few pretty large companies that are now intertwined and associated with SCORE that I don't think Sal maybe not ever would have been capable of getting, but I just don't think that he saw value in it as much as Roger does. I think Roger is much more technologically in 2013 savvy than Sal was. So I think that we have some potential for making the sport and the whole series huge just on that level alone, but obviously in many more aspects as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, look, he has some big shoes to fill. You know, Sal had run this, culture for, I don't even know, how long has it been, 20, 30 years? And for it's been successful. It's still here, and it's still the Baja 1000 and the Baja 500 and San Felipe and bad economy and good economy. He's been through it all. And so I think it's going to be really difficult, and I've watched it. It has been really difficult to satisfy everybody. And I think Roger has some great ideas, some big challenges ahead of him. But I'm one person that I believe in evolution and change, and sometimes it's painful, and sometimes it's not what you want. But, hopefully the outcome is a better result. So, I think a lot of things that he's doing and trying to do are good. They're positive, but it's difficult. Again, going back to what I've learned over the last couple of years with the Mint 400, this isn't easy. I mean, there are so many hurdles that just seem insurmountable in putting on these races, whether they're in America or Mexico, that really, when you dial into it, you go like, wait a second, who's the crazy person that's putting this on? So, my hat's off to Roger for stepping up and acquiring SCORE and, pushing forward towards change. And, I think that the real kind of truth in it all is here we are at the end of the year. He had a relatively successful year of racing. He had some bumps, but the year was finished. We're looking on to 2014, and, it seems like there's some good things coming with television for SCORE and a few other things as well. So I think it all kind of remains to be seen.
Yep. Well, I got to tell you guys, I appreciate you coming on and wrapping up the storylines that define 2013. Looking forward to an amazing 2014 in off-road and rally, and appreciate you both for taking the time to call in.
No sweat, Jim. Look forward to 2014. Let's step on the gas.
Yep, absolutely. Game on, buddy.
All right.
All right. Thanks, Matt. Thank you, Courtney.
Thank you, Jim.
All right. Talk soon. All right. That was the storylines of Define 2013. Definitely looking forward to 2014. Man, talk about a great year for the Down and Dirty Radio Show. Had some great guests. And as we wrap up our last live show, I can definitely tell you we're going to be back in 2014, bigger, stronger, better than ever. We're going to be available in more places online in the next 2 weeks. You're going to be wanting to watch my Instagram, watch my Facebook, watch my Twitter page, because I'm going to have some blockbuster announcements, not only on the number 15 program, but with the Down and Dirty Radio Show at Jim Beaver 15 on Instagram and Twitter, facebook.com/Down and Dirty Show. Feel free to hit me up, send me a direct message, shoot me an email through the contact form on the website. Love your input on guests, anything you think that we ought to do better. I appreciate each and every one of you for listening in each and every day. I mean, you know, well over 500,000, 600,000, 700,000 of you. I lose track. It's that many. I appreciate it from the bottom of my heart. Upcoming events for those of you over the holidays, because I'll be gone for 2 weeks. We've got the Parker 250 coming up the 1st of January, Dakar Rally getting off the ground, and we've got Amsoil Championship Snowcross, not to mention Supercross coming back the 1st of January. Don't forget about Nitro Circus Live Tour. And got to thank Matt, Courtney, Carl Renizetter, the Arizona Ford Dealers, Race Tech Seats, Blue Water Resort and Casino, and UPR.com for all of the support. And once again, thank you to each and every one of you listeners. I hope you have a Merry Christmas, a great New Year, and some happy holidays. We will see you in 2014. Game on.